If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Wednesday. Wednesday weekly webinar night. 5th of February 2025. By the way, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. I do a live weekly webinar, lasts about an hour. I normally overrun, but for the Share Pickers Investment Club. And so if you are a member, you're listening to this and you haven't joined live before, try live. Or, of course, if you can't do it live, then, of course, it's on the website recorded for you. And by the way, bad news today regarding the Purchasing Managers Index. But this equals good news, I believe. Oh, by the way, if you want to become a member, you can get 25% off. All you have to do is go to sharepickers.com, click on the book at the top of the page, and if you like the book enough to give it a 5-star rating and review, you can claim 25% off. As you know, we just had one of these smart devices. We've got a smart meter, but we've had this display system in our house. It does make you look at... Our bills have gone through the roof. We moved into the new house in June now, last year, with lots of renovation. And we thought the bills were, of course, because renovation, lots of workers, builders around. But it was nuts. We were getting bills like 550, 600, 650 quid the last 3 months. I said, what the heck is going on? So we're checking out this. But we realise, it dawned on us, it's winter. So you pretty much use twice as much gas electricity. So hopefully that'll come down. But it does, I put budgets now, £10 for electricity, £10 for gas per day. And we're trying to stick to that in the winter. But I've got solar panels coming soon, so that'll help. I think big battery. So that will help. But yeah, it does make you really aware of what you're using. You know, you put things on and you check the meter to see. I mean, it's probably a novelty. I had one years ago. It tripped out now and again. But it does make you aware of what you're using. Because you have it in pounds and pence, you know, or you can have it on kilowatts per hour. But it makes you very aware of what's happening there. Anyway, I'm rambling on. Haven't started yet, really. So it's a pre-ramble. I did mention yesterday I'm going to the Master Investor event in London, 29th of March. It's a Saturday. So come along if you can. And, I'm doing the book panel. I'm with a couple of authors on a book panel at about 4 p.m. But I've also got a little stand where I have my books and show the website and all that stuff. So come along if you want to. That'll be great to see you. Apart from you. Only kidding. Okay, let's have a look at the markets. FTSE 100, where is it? It is up. Well, a smidge, 0.06% to 8575, just off the high. FTSE 250, it's down a fifth of 1%, 20,616. FTSE small cap, a smidge, 6764. And the AIM all share, what is it? Again, up a smidge, again, up to 0.05%. I do think this is the year. This is the year. This is it. This is it. Do you remember Michael Jackson said that? He was doing a concert at the O2 Arena, last concert ever. And me and my wife now, she was my wife back then, booked tickets. I had to go and see him, you know, live. And that's all his press conference was. This is it. This is it. And the crowd were going wild. That's all he seemed to say. And then he passed away. And I remember being in the flat with Pete, a mate who from the Weekend Podcast. He'd just gone home. And I had a text saying, Michael Jackson's passed away. What? So my wife was in bed. So when I woke her up, I said, Megan, Michael Jackson has passed away. And she was asleep. The first thing she said was, I hope you get a refund on those tickets. What a way to remember a legend of pop, eh? Hope you get a refund on those tickets. Anyway, where is it? Amor, sure. Yeah, that's there. Well, how do we get onto that? Anyway, let's look at commodities. Down 1.34% is Brent crude oil, down to $75.34 a barrel. Gold, all-time high. I keep saying this. I don't think people are catching on. Right, a week today, it's ex-dividend date for Ramsden's. If you look at their last set of results, it wasn't all base. All four parts of their business grew. All right, but of course, there was higher interest from gold buying and selling because the gold is an all-time high. And last year, in fact, the year before, I think, two upgrades last year for the brokers, two upgrades the year before. I see an upgrade happening again. When upgrades happen, unexpectedly, the share price goes upwards. I see it happening. I'm forecasting it. I'm biased. I hold stock. I'm a shareholder, so I'm very biased. Do your own research, read back over their annual financial results, which was released, I think, last month or at the start of this month, and you'll see strength across all business units, plus launching a new business unit, international money transfers, as well as currency effects and all that stuff. But, you know, I think it's a really undervalued stock, a PE of sort of 8 or 9, double-digit revenue growth and earnings growth. So undervalued. And it's one of these stocks where they're always going to do well. In any environment, any macro environment, they'll do well because of the four different income streams they have. And they have about 170 stores and expanding between 5 and 10 stores a year. So anyway, ex-dividend date is a week today. So if you're on the register before then, you get to pay the dividend. The dividend is around about, for the full year, is around about 5%. I think it's 4.87, something like that. But worth a look. Or also, by the way, a big shout out to Stephen English from Stellar Asset Management. Did a superb summary of Beeks and the potential financial cloud, Beeks, on an interview with Paul Hill on Vox Markets. Check that out. I did post it on social media, but the phenomenal upside that Beeks could achieve, they're just starting. I know it's had one of the best rises last year, but this is a truly scalable company. And you've got a question, why are the biggest exchanges in the world, you know, why are they using Beeks' technology? Because it's the best. It's an exceptional company. By the way, I think they have a trading update coming up very soon. And it was this time last year I took a position when they said, well, just read last year's, 6th of February, I think it was last year, a trading update, phenomenal, going from contract wins to extended contracts to cash flow positives, ahead of expectations. It was phenomenal. I think it's one of those companies that can just scale effortlessly. And he actually made a good point. You've got Johannesburg Exchange, you've got NASDAQ Exchange, you've got the deal with the New York Stock Exchange. It's listed in the UK. Why the heck isn't the London Stock Exchange on board with this? It's a British business listed in the UK under LSE, pretty much on AIM, and yet they're not using their technology and they're behind the pack. That's an example of why London Stock Exchange is not doing very well, or people are not listening here, but they're not up with it. Anyway, gold that was all about. Sorry, the offshoot, a bit of a tangent. Let's look at copper to the ton. It is up a smidge, up a fifth of 1%. It's up to $9,616 a tonne. So it's got a Brent crude gold and Bitcoin. It took a bit of a hit yesterday. It's quite well. It's in a range pretty much now. You can see this range is around about 92. It did spike down to 92, 91 a bit yesterday. But the closing days from 92,000 up to 106,000, this range. Which end of the range will it break out? I'm thinking interest rates coming down, you know, debt is piling up. I'm thinking it goes to the upside, I think. Saying that, you never know. You could get some big liquidations happening in Bitcoin that can take it down. anything else? Oh, yeah, let's look at the government debt. This is a two-year yield on the government bond. It is down 1% to 4.137 now. Like I said, it was at 4.6 in, what was that, mid-January. It's now at 4.137. Of course, the Bank of England likely, highly likely to reduce rates tomorrow and go faster. And the 10-year, it's at 4.46. I said down from 4.9 mid-January, so that's coming down as well. £1 will buy you €1.20. Euros, of course, why did I say that? No. And it'll buy you $1.25, which is strengthening. Dixie's coming off. The dollar index, it's weakening a bit. So $1.25 you can get for your pound there. Okay, let's look at some macro news. Now, let's change the format a bit. I'm only now going to do three macro news, three micro bits of news, okay? Because I was listening yesterday and it went on too long and I'm giving a lot away for free. So if you want more of this, like I said, I do upload this to the chat forum, the Sharepickers Investment Club. You can see this. And in fact, I'll put it on the blog as well. But all this notes, all these notes from this podcast, I'll put up there along with the broker sort of forecasts on each of these companies. So if you want access to that, then please do become a member. Listen, it's only £149.99 if you get the 25% off, and that's £2.88 a week. It's well worth that. In fact, you know, like I said, the webinar I do, a live webinar, if I charge just the national average wage for that, £12.21, then the annual membership fee should be £635. But of course, that's how cheap it is. Okay, first a bit of macro news. UK services firms speed up job cuts, but price pressure strong, PMI shows. In fact, let's look at this. I'm looking at the data there, sorry. British service firms lost momentum last month as a looming rise in employer taxes led to the fastest job cuts in 4 years. But price pressures remain strong, according to a survey that underscored the challenge facing the Bank of England this week. The S&P Global UK Services Purchasing Managers Index fell to 50.8 in January, the joint weakest since November 2023, down from December's 51.1, and only slightly above the 50 dividing line between growth and contraction. We are heading into recession. Employment shrank for the fourth month in a row, with the pace of job reduction at its fastest since January 2021. That is a stark figure. I'll repeat that. Employment shrank for the fourth month in a row, with the pace of job reduction its fastest rate since January 2021. So that's, quite worrying for the economy. Of course, less people working, less people paying tax, less people also spending in the economy. So these are the actual figures. Service sector, by the way, is about makes up about 82% of our economy, services sectors. So actual figure came in 50.8, forecast was 51.2, previous 51.1. The good news is here, the Bank of England is going to have to start reducing faster than we think. The economy is going into the pit. It's not looking good. So I think if they're going to try and, I think a recession is going to happen, but to limit the depth of the recession, they're going to have to increase interest rates faster. Lower interest rates, good for business, good for the economy, good for the market. The market will react first. And so we should see, I'm seeing this year as a good year for UK equities against that backdrop. Having said that, this is from Calistone. UK equity funds see outflows despite record UK share prices, as the US funds remain firmly in favour. Yeah, that's not going to happen. These retail investors are generally behind the crowd. They're chasing the noise. So investors started 2025 in a more pessimistic mood after enthusiastically adding to equity, bond and mixed asset funds in the last 2 months of 2024. So highlights. Investors sold out a net £640 million of equity funds in January after a long stretch of strong inflows. Really? UK-focused funds shed £1.07 billion, the sixth worst month on record, despite record UK share prices. That's the FTSE 100, of course, hitting all-time highs. European and Asian funds also saw net selling, but North American equities garnered net inflows of £576 million. So to a certain extent, that's propped up the market as well in America, of course, the inflows. But I think once you have stalling of the S&P 500 and NASDAQ, people start pulling. Once you have a bit of sell-off, they'll start pulling it. I'm hoping that'll come towards the UK then. Investors grew more cautious on fixed income funds, buying as yields climbed and prices fell and selling when the markets rallied. And finally, UK electric car sales rise in January but lag behind mandate, industry data shows. So registrations for new electric cars, vehicles in the UK rose in January, but the market share remained short of the 28% mandate for the year, industry data showed today. Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders reported that volumes of battery electric vehicles, or BEV, rose by 46.1%, sorry, other way around, 41.6% year on year, to rise to a 23.7% market share. Overall, new car registrations dropped for the fourth consecutive month in January to decline to 2.5% of, how many units do you think that is in the month registered? How many units, cars, I assume, one car. That is 139,345 units, as demand from both fleet and private buyers slowed down in a weak economy. See, another sign, the economy is weakening. And it's going to continue downwards, I think, until the Bank of England start reducing these rates. Okay. Micro news. Are they for the watch list or are they to ignore? I'm looking for, to understand what I'm trying to do here, I'm looking for small improving businesses with sustainable growth in revenue and profits. And the word sustainable is key here because I want to invest in a business. It is a business I'm looking for. I'm not concerned about the share price, although it mustn't be in a downtrend. Fundamentally, has to show that they're going to, you know, sustain their growth, and that's why the share price will sustain as well in an upwards trend. Okay, so there may be opportunities to trade stocks. I'm not interested in that. You may say companies are oversold massively and good value. I'm not interested in that. I want growth. Small companies should have growth. Full stop. That's the most important bit about it. Then if they're overvalued, okay, there's a bit of risk there. But I want a bit of value as well. But growth is the key component you look for. So I'll do three companies. That's all I'm going to do. The rest will be sent to the Sharepickers Investment Club on notes. First and foremost, MadeTech Group, MTEC, a leading provider of digital data and technology services to the UK public sector, is pleased to announce its unaudited half-year results for the 6 months ended the 30th of November. So they've got a market cap. In fact, I think it's rallied quite hard today. So up 16%. So they were about 41 million. They're going to be about 47 million now, 47 million market cap, say that. I'll say up at 45. Revenue, 21.8 million versus 19.1. So 14% top line. Profit or loss before tax. So they've gone to a 450K profit versus a loss last year of 975. So a good improvement here. And net cash has also grown to 9.1 million from 7.9, up 15%. I think this is one, of course, it's one to watch. I mean, we've had this in the webinar quite a few times. But it went through a really damp patch last year, a soggy patch, because it is, you know, it's a UK public services dipped, I think maybe due to the elections and all that stuff, but spend was down and the growth dipped from 40 million in 23 to 38 in 24, and they went to a loss there. But now it seems to be on recovery. The only question I have here now is on valuation. Like I said, it's risen a lot, looking at the chart here, since the recovery. In fact, back in the AGM, in November, they did a ahead of expectations update. Always be aware of those. And it jumped up from sort of 19 pence, I think to 22, and it's kept rising. Now it's at 32 pence, and so I'm concerned that literally they are going to be, well, high 20s PE. So you're going to be aware of that, but it's a company worth keeping an eye on. Next, let's have a look. What's next here? Shield Therapeutics, a commercial stage pharmaceutical company specialising in iron deficiency, provides an unaudited full-year trading update for the year ended 31st December 24. And they say this period reflects a significant step up in revenue alongside successfully streamlining the cost base and strengthening the company's balance sheet. These initiatives are part of the company's ongoing strategy to become a cash flow positive by the end of calendar 2025. That'd be good if they could. So the market cap is 30 million. Are they up today? They're up to about 19%. So probably about 36 million then, market cap. They had revenues of $32.2 million versus 17.5. So excellent growth top line. Now, I don't know if that's what people are looking at. But they're going to be, you know, they had cash and equivalents of 6.5 million as of the 31st of December. And then they did a fundraise, discounted, a slight premium actually, because the share price had fallen off a cliff before then, of $10 million. And they said providing sufficient capital to allow the company to become cash flow positive by the end of the year. It'd be nice if it happened. But this company is a very high cash burn vehicle. So they're looking, like I said, 32 million top line. They're looking to lose. Loss before tax, over 20 million. So I'm going to say ignore this. They didn't mention the loss they're going to make. And of course, all trading updates are highlights. Now, they did mention the loss they're going to make. And even for the half year, they lost $15.5 million before tax. This is up from 11.8 the previous year. And that was on 12 million revenues. They lost 15 million on 12 million of revenue. So I'm saying they need to generate in excess of, 50 million top line to break even. So in my mind, they're probably going to need to raise money again. I mean, they're going to have to really cut costs and drive revenue to not make a loss. So that's the only concern here. Like I said, it has rallied quite strongly today. I think it's come off at a recent low in what was it, 50th of Jan. It hit like 2.23 pence, and it's gone up today 19% today to 3.4 pence. And finally, for the podcast here, Xeros Technology Group. I've been watching this for years, and it's taken so long to commercialize this. This was backed by Neil Woodford for a while. They are the creator of technologies that reduce the impact of clothing on the planet, announces the following trading update ahead of its results for the year ended 31st December, which will be published on May 25. Now, what's odd about this is there's a profit warning, and it rose. So maybe it's a bullish market, I don't know. But it was a profit warning because they pushed out their revenue to next year, and they're up 31%. Again, they're only sub 3 million market cap, you know? So very small, a bit of volume maybe will help it. I noticed a few funds buying in here recently, maybe taking a punt on longer term. So they did say an unanticipated additional requirement during the final stage of cycle development with the group's denim finishing partner. So they have a technology that reduces water usage and all that stuff and also extracts plastic fibres. So it's good for the environment. That's why I liked it. Like I said, it was backed by Neil Woodford. He put in a lot of cash. And then, of course, as soon as he went kaput, they're in trouble, basically. But I remember them doing an 81% discount fundraise once. And I held some stock. And luckily, I only held a bit of stock. So when it started to rally, I piled in a bit more and I got out at a small profit. I thought, yeah, none of the board had any skin in the game. I thought, that's got to say something. You know, when they're doing an 81% discount, none of the board have skin in the game. Think, yeah, but they wouldn't do that, would they? If they had plenty of skin in the game. Anyway, so they're saying the order from Yilmaz, this denim finisher, resulted in the order of X orbs moving from financial year 24 into the first quarter 25. Revenue in the coming months is below expectations, though adjusted EBITDA and net cash is in line. So revenue, they're going to say 2.5 million for the current year. It's up from, 200K last year. So it is up massively from that. And they said, this does not include the significant upside potential of additional revenue opportunities from the numerous discussions we are currently have underway. People love that, don't they? The hope high potential. Who's to say any of those discussions actually translate into cash, into commercial activity, into commercial orders? But people love that kind of, ooh, dangle a carrot. So net cash of 2.8 at the end of the year. So I would say for now, it's one of these ones sitting on the fence, really. I mean, it's highly risky. I'd say ignore for now. They talk a lot about, you know, letters of intent and interest, but revenue has seen slippage into 25 due to technical issues. This currently, right now, is probably a pop and drop. Maybe of interest later when they confirm they are generating enough cash not to have to fundraise again. Yeah, I think the same as that, pop and drop with Shield as well, until they can sort of, because they are losing a lot of money. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much for listening. That's it for the podcast. And if you do like it, please give a good rating review. And listen, if you want to join the Sharepickers Investment Club for 25% off, just buy the book, which I'm sure will provide some value to you. I mean, if you just check out the reviews there, and you'll see it'll provide you some value, and you can get access to the website for £149.99. And that's a snip. What a bargain, eh? Speaking tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.